because I care about you, I'm not singing tonight, because I promise you, if I did lead singing, you would not be happy. So we are going to go straight into Bible study tonight. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And so tonight we are beginning to do something a little different. We will be doing this for most of the year, something called Wednesday Night Snapshots. And this is basically a character study. So every week we're going to look at a different Bible character. We're going to look at what the Word of God says, the takeaways, and then we're going to look at some application. And so tonight we are going to begin with Zechariah and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. And so we've just got finished with Christmas, and of course during the Christmas season we talk a lot about Mary and Joseph, but two people connected to the Christmas story that we don't often mention is Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, one thing I want to mention, if you're studying from a King James or a New King James Bible tonight, you will see that the name here in Luke chapter 1 verses 5 through 80 will be Zacharias. But if you are in a different translation, an NIV or a CSB, it's going to be Zacharias. So you're going to have an E instead of an A. And so basically, we're talking about the same person, 100%. But those different Bible translations change the spelling of that name. And there's an Old Testament character sometimes that we get Zacharias confused with. If you study the minor prophets of the Old Testament, the second to last book in the Old Testament is named Zacharias. And so there's two Zacharias in the Bible. There's the Old Testament Zacharias, and there's the New Testament Zacharias. And so tonight, we will focus on the New Testament Zacharias. Also, a little different just for our Wednesday night studies. Normally, we focus on one verse or one series of verses. We stand. But tonight, we're going to kind of go a little different. So I'm not going to have you stand, because we're going to look at a lot of different verses. So we are going to have the verses on the screen, but I would ask, whether you use your Bible or your phone, stay with me, because I want to make sure as we go through these verses, we are seeing straight from Scripture about what the Lord is saying about Zacharias and Elizabeth. So we're going to begin tonight in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 5 through 25, and this is our introduction to this couple. The Word of God says, There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now there are several takeaways that I want us to see from this text. And remember, the focus on this study is not just to look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, but to see how God used them. Now, I'm fascinated from Genesis to Revelation to see how God used regular people for his glory. Now, when we're talking about Jesus, Jesus Christ was fully God, but Jesus Christ was not like you and I in the sense of, yes, he was fully man, but he was perfect. Last time I checked, I'm not perfect. And if you're honest, guess what? No one's perfect. And so we study Jesus and we look at how Jesus lived. And the Bible tells us to live in the same way he did, to love like he loved, to be a light like Jesus was. But Jesus is not the same as we are. But yet when we study everyone else outside of Jesus, guess what? They are the same flawed people that we are. And so tonight, as we look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, there are several things that are interesting. First, in verse 5, it tells us that this all took place during the reign of King Herod. Now, Jesus is going to be born literally just several months after this. And so this is the same time period that Jesus is born into. Now, the Bible tells us that Zacharias was a priest. Now, we know from the Old Testament that all the priests, they come from the line of Aaron. And so Aaron, the brother of Moses, of course, from that bloodline, we see the priest. And at that time, during the life of Zacharias, there was some 20,000 priests. So to be a priest wasn't uncommon. But this responsibility that we read about, the opportunity to go into the temple and to be able to burn the incense in the holy place, for you and I, that might not sound like a big deal, but in the Jewish culture, for a priest, this was by far the most sacred thing that they would ever do. And in most situations, the priest would only do this one time in their entire ministry. Now, we know that Zacharias was an older man. And so if we look at this, chances are Zacharias waited his entire ministry as a priest to be able to do this sacred act. And the Bible says that while he was in there, while he was going to the special place within the temple, that the people would be outside the temple praying. This was custom. And so Zacharias would go in, and of course he would pray, and then he would burn the incense. And it was at this moment when he was alone in the temple that the angel Gabriel appeared to him. Now, I can only imagine that Zacharias must have thought about how this would go in his mind. And I can almost assure you that he did not think an angel would come to him at this time and speak to him, let alone tell him that he, being an old man, and his wife, being an old woman, would have a child. And we see from the reaction of Zacharias that when Gabriel told him this good news, that instead of Zacharias just accepting it, like many of us, like myself, he was logical. And he said, "How can this be?" Now, before we go into that, there's one thing I want to quickly mention. When Gabriel was speaking to Zacharias, Gabriel said, "I am going to... your prayers have been answered." Now, this is interesting because Zacharias being an old man, and we don't know this for sure, but most likely Zacharias was not praying currently to have a child. He believed that the opportunity for him and Elizabeth to bear a child was long past. And so when Gabriel said, "Your prayer has been answered," he did not mean, "Hey, Zacharias, what you prayed for this morning," or, "Hey, what you prayed for last night." What he was saying is, that prayer that you prayed years ago, God heard. That prayer that you thought God just wouldn't answer, that prayer that you thought that God ignored, that prayer that you thought was impossible, that prayer is going to take place. And it's important to understand this, because I know in the Old Testament, when we see longer lives, we see Sarah at an old age give birth. And so you might say, well, what's the big deal? Elizabeth, you know, she's an older woman. We've seen it before. But in the New Testament, the lifespans are very similar to ours. And so when the Bible says Elizabeth was older, it meant she was past her childbearing stage in life. And you might say, well, that means it's impossible for Elizabeth to have a child. We have to remember that God is supernatural. God does not fit into our box. And if we're not careful, we put God in the box. If we're not careful, we say, okay, God, I believe you can do this, but this right here, I don't know. And maybe we don't say that, but in our minds, we think there are things that are too impossible for God. There's things that we think that even God either won't do or can't do. And when the angel Gabriel, the same angel who would go to Mary, tells Zacharias this news, he couldn't believe it. He doubted it. He struggled. Now, the Bible describes the character of these two in verse 6. And it says that they were righteous before God. They were blameless. And so I want us to understand that Zacharias and Elizabeth were godly people. Not perfect, but they were obedient. They were servants of the Lord. And when I read this, what I'm reminded is even when we're following God, even when we're obedient, even when we're faithful, we can still struggle to have faith. It's going to happen. There's going to be times in our lives where our faith is not as strong as it should be. And here we see that moment for Zacharias. Now, there's a price that Zacharias would pay for his doubt. Because he did not believe, because he struggled with believing that God could do this, Gabriel said, "You will be mute." He could not speak. And of course, when he left the temple, he was in there longer than he should be. So all the people didn't know what was happening. No one would go in there. They were all waiting on the outside. And so when Zacharias came out, when he could not speak, they came up with their own imagination what happened. They thought, well, maybe it was a vision. Maybe it was this. But the truth is, they had no idea what took place. But I want us to look here in verse 24. Because we talked about Zacharias, but the Bible says Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was from also the bloodline of Aaron. And just like the Bible says that Zacharias was blameless and righteous before God, well, Elizabeth was righteous. And in that time, in the Bible culture, both Old and New Testament, if a woman was barren, in that culture, that was seen to be an abomination. So if a woman could not have a child, then God must be angry at her. There must be some sin. And so for the fact that Elizabeth was an older woman and she never had a child, then that would have literally put a blemish to her life, according to most people. Not to God's, because God had a reason for her to be barren. But verse 24 says that after those days, Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months. But I want us to look at the response here. Verse 25 says, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." She rejoiced. For her, not only was Zacharias praying for a child, and I'm not saying that moment. This is just my own thoughts, but I'm sure that Zacharias and Elizabeth quit praying. They quit praying for a child for years. But remember what Gabriel said at the end, in God's timing. When it was God's timing, Elizabeth conceived. That blemish, that reproach was all cast off. God had a plan for Zacharias and Elizabeth. A beautiful plan for their lives. Look here with me in verse 34. So in verse 26 to 33, and we're not going to read this. We're going to focus on Mary down the road. But we all know about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was a young lady. Mary was, of all the people that God could have chose to be the mother of Jesus, God chose Mary. Why? Because Mary was the right fit. Mary had the heart. Mary was the one that God chose to use. And we see here that when Gabriel, the same angel that went and spoke to Zacharias, when Gabriel spoke to Mary, here in verse 34, it says, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And verse 35 says, the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Now you might say, "Well, I thought we were talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth." Well, look in verse 36. This is a connection. It says, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." If there's one verse I want you to walk away with tonight, is verse 37. If you're a highlighter in your Bible, make sure to highlight this. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Now, this is so important because as Gabriel was telling Mary, Mary's whole life changed. I mean, Mary was set to be married. I mean, she was set to start this new life with Joseph. And as everything in her mind was planned, here comes God saying, "Hey, it's all going to be different now." And so even though we think, "Well, wow, I mean, God chose Mary. How beautiful." Yes, it's beautiful, but it's also life-changing. And to almost, in my mind, calm her fears, Gabriel said, "Hey, you know your relative," which we believe cousin, but the Bible says relative. "Hey, you know your relative, Elizabeth, the one that everyone called barren, the one that everyone said couldn't have a child? Well, she's 6 months pregnant. God chose her to have a child." And not only a child, but as we read earlier, God had huge plans for this child. See, John the Baptist, who the child would grow up to be, was the one who would go before Jesus. He was the forerunner of the gospel, the one that was similar to Elijah. Just like the Old Testament prophet Elijah went and spoke the truth, even when the truth wasn't welcomed, John the Baptist spoke the truth. And so as Mary's whole life was turned upside down, God said, "Hey, just like I'm doing the impossible, just like I'm making a virgin pregnant, your cousin who's barren, she's pregnant too." And so this is beautiful to me because there's a connection between Elizabeth and Mary, just like there's a connection between Jesus and John the Baptist. This isn't a coincidence. This isn't an accident. This is a divine plan. God here has a beautiful plan. And not only that, but we see here in verse 39, it says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judea, of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" Now, just for a moment, I want us to think here about what Mary's going through. And I know our focus is on Elizabeth, but Mary, as she travels from her hometown to visit her cousin, I'm sure she is coming to grips with everything that's happening in her life. But I'm sure she remembers what God said about her cousin. I'm sure that's the reason she went there. She wanted to see, hey, if God said that I, a virgin, will be pregnant and my barren older relative is pregnant, I want to see if this is possible. I want to see if this is true. And then when she sees Elizabeth 6 months pregnant, think about the comfort that must give Mary. And then these words, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth. Now, as we go through the New Testament, we're going to see the Holy Spirit will come down upon every believer. But at this time, the Holy Spirit only comes upon when God puts the Holy Spirit on people. And we see here that Elizabeth speaks words of encouragement to Mary. Mary needed this. Mary had a lot to ponder on. And yet, seeing her cousin, seeing what God is doing through Elizabeth, man, that has to bring comfort to young Mary. In verse 56, just one verse here in chapter 1, it says, "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house." So for 3 months, Elizabeth and Mary remained together. Now, this was a blessing for Mary, because it got her out of her hometown. It got her out of where she's from as all this is going on. But also for 3 months, she had Elizabeth, her relative, who is going through something supernatural too, to be right there beside her. Now, there's a word that you might hear in church a lot. It's called discipleship. And discipleship is critical. Discipleship is when one person pours into another person. It's when one person loves and cares. And they just, man, they want the other person to grow spiritually. They want them to be the best and the closest follower of God that they can be. And that's what we're seeing here from Elizabeth and young Mary. For 3 months, we see it. They were together. Now, and you might say, well, hold on, Tyler, what are you getting at? The Bible tells us that Elizabeth was a devout woman, that Elizabeth was a follower of God. So I have to believe in those 3 months we see discipleship. In those 3 months, we see Elizabeth being an encourager and building Mary up. Mary needed that. Once again, God put Elizabeth in this situation, having the child that would be John the Baptist, so that Mary could have this relationship, that Mary could have Elizabeth pour into her. Sometimes in life, when we go through things, God's going to put someone else in our life that we can pour into. Maybe what we go through, we wouldn't have signed up for. But what we've gone through, we can pour into someone else. We can disciple someone else. That's what we're seeing here with Elizabeth and Mary. So finally, here in verse 57, we get to the end of Elizabeth's pregnancy. It says, "Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her." Now, that's interesting, because remember verse 14? Verse 14 told us that when John was born, that many would rejoice. So we're seeing scripture fulfilling. Verse 59, "So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, 'No, he shall be called John.' But they said to her, 'There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name.' So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, 'His name is John.' So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosened, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, 'What kind of child will this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him." Now, just a few things here. First, we see God did exactly what he said he would do. Elizabeth gave birth to a son. But not only that, but once he was born, of course, according to Jewish culture, after 8 days, they took the baby to be circumcised. And at that point, he would be named. And it was custom at that time for the child to have the same name as the father. And so his name should have been John. And yet, instead, clearly, he was to be called Zacharias. And that's what Elizabeth said. But that wasn't tradition. And so they went to John. John couldn't speak. And so they said, well, what should we name him? And the Bible says that when Zacharias wrote down John, then his tongue was loosened and he began to praise the Lord. Now this is beautiful because we have literally not heard a word from John the entire pregnancy, because when he doubted the Lord, man, he became mute. Now, we don't see this in Scripture, but think for a moment about what Zacharias went through. Think about this older man who wanted a child and yet his wife could not conceive. And now he sees a miracle in his own home, his barren wife being pregnant. And then he sees her give birth. I'm sure every word that the angel Gabriel said to him about what this child would grow up to be, about how John would lead the people to prepare their hearts for the Lord. There's a reason why he praised God. Now you can say, well, man, Zacharias, I mean, he was right before the Lord. He was blameless. He shouldn't have doubted the Lord. But like we said earlier, we're all going to doubt the Lord at one time or another. I mean, we can show up on a Sunday or Wednesday with our best Christian smiles, but we are going to struggle. We're going to doubt. But the beautiful thing with Zacharias is he didn't stay in his doubt. And when he saw the Lord working, when he saw the Lord fulfilling what he said he would, man, we see Zacharias praising God. And that's a beautiful thing. The final piece of scripture tonight, look with me here in verse 67 through the end of the chapter. It says, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who has been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So verses 48 through 75 is all about the prophecy of Jesus, about God delivering the promised Messiah. But here in verse 76, now he's talking about his own son. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, in a few weeks, we'll focus on John the Baptist. But what I want us to see here is from the very beginning, from when Gabriel first spoke about the coming son of Zacharias, God had a plan for this child. And now, once again, just like the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth, now the Holy Spirit has come upon Zacharias. And Zacharias speaks and he prophesies first about the Messiah, but then about the role that his own son will fulfill. Now, we don't see Zacharias and Elizabeth mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. When we see John the Baptist as an adult, when we see him in the wilderness preaching, doing exactly what God told him to do, we don't see Zacharias and Elizabeth. And so we are led to believe, because of their advanced age, that by the time that John the Baptist is an adult, that they're already passed away. We don't know that for sure, but that's what we're led to believe. And as we're looking at the characters within the Bible, as we're studying Zacharias and Elizabeth, I'm reminded that every person has a legacy. Every man and woman in the Bible has a legacy. So what's the legacy of Zacharias and Elizabeth? Well, there's a few things tonight as we close, some application. For Zacharias, I go back to verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Zacharias struggled with believing that God could do the impossible. He struggled with believing that this miracle could happen. But man, when he saw God working, he was the first one to praise the Lord. No matter what we're going through, the enemy will tell us that's too big for God. God can't do it. God can't work. And just like the enemy is whispering to us, the Lord is whispering too. And we choose if we doubt the Lord. We choose if we give in to the fear. If we give in to the temptation of believing that God can't do it. And no matter, maybe we've doubted for a long time, man, we need to remember it's never too late to praise the Lord. Just like we see from Zacharias. And then from Elizabeth, man, pour into people. Just like Elizabeth poured into young Mary, just like Elizabeth was there for 3 months for Mary, I believe that God has people all around us that he wants you and I to pour into. He wants us to encourage people around us. Mary needed Elizabeth. And there are people in our lives that need you and I. They need us to be faithful. So tonight, let us remember the legacy of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Not because of how great they are, and they're just broken, sinful people like you and I, but how God used them for his glory. Stand with me.